Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and time in our studio is about 10:45, and we've kicked up Manny's segment this morning as he has a commitment. So, Manny, good morning. Stamati's here in studio, as is the professor, as is Costa, as myself. So I guess we've got the five-way conversation going on this morning.
Just waiting for Manny's...
Manoli μου, γρήγορα, πες μας πώς θα οικονομήσουμε κανένα φράγκο να πάμε στην Ελλάδα να τα χαλάσουμε στα μπουζούκια. Γελάει ο Σταμάτης.
Γεια σου, Manny.
Τι κάνετε, how's everybody? I'm jealous. I feel like I'm missing out right now.
Yeah, it's kind of...
You should have been over here.
I wouldn't be jealous.
Four men? No. No.
So we're going to talk about the Super Bowl or we're going to talk about the stock market?
We're going to talk about the stock market first.
Okay, money is going up, it's going up, it's going up, and then it's going to go down, right?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you know, it's been a historic run, you know, number of days up in a row, another record high yesterday, you know, up 12 over the last 13 weeks. And going back to 2022, since the last time you saw a 1% to 2% pullback for the market at the close. So it's been pretty unprecedented. Certainly feels like more people are jumping into the pool and still chasing those magnificent seven names. Just starting to get pretty distorted when you look at it at an index level. So certainly the party continues, but everything is going to depend on Mr. Powell's comments tomorrow as it relates to the Federal Open Market Committee meeting. I have a hunch and a feeling that he's going to have to come out more hawkish, which could potentially bring some selling into the market and cause some compression for a minute.
Just to define for our listening audience, when you say hawkish, you mean?
He's going to come out and potentially push back against the idea of rate cuts, right? So when we're talking, when you hear the word dove, it means usually that you're providing some level of liquidity or support to the market. When you are hawkish, it's essentially you are pulling out the froth or steam from the engine, and your primary mechanism to do that is by maneuvering interest rates to a higher level and put pressure on the economy. So I think he's going to come out more hawkish just given the fact that where we are, right? Unemployment still stays at a really low level. You have stock markets at all-time highs. Inflation has continued to drop, but not substantially, right? We're still above 3%. And that last mile to get to 2%, I do think is going to be troublesome. I don't think it happens as quickly as the market expects. And I think he's going to have to talk down the fact that the market expects to receive 8 rate cuts this year. I honestly think that he might even take March off the table, just given where we are. I mean, if we're cutting in this environment, it means that something's pretty drastically wrong. And at the moment, there isn't really anything besides looking across the pond when you look at either geopolitical or economic situations that are happening abroad. Think Evergrande in China, you know, having been forced to liquidate. That economy is in massive falling. Right now, you're looking at the CCP providing some level of stimulus to the tune of $260 billion to support that market and elevate stocks. And you haven't seen growth in Europe since 2022. So you've had declining quarters and GDP across the world outside of the United States. So I do think that at some point that has a meaningful impact. And I think that the inflation narrative could get skewed just due again to geopolitical events. For example, freight is up 200% since what has been taking place in the Red Sea, right? And then on top of that, add in the Panama Canal, and we're going around the Cape of Good Hope, and everything is becoming more expensive again. Crude oil was up 10% over the last month. That hasn't bled into the CPI. So I do think, again, nothing problematic, nothing catastrophic that we expect in terms of a recession or hard landing. I just think that the market has gotten way too over its skis with the projected number of rate cuts, and that's why you've seen stocks move the way they have over the last couple months.
Okay, that's a cautious, you know, cautious view. IMF said today expected global growth to be a little bit more than they thought. They think that China is going to be okay, and U.S. is going to be okay, and Europe is going to be down, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the key question there is China. The U.S. continues to combat the headwinds facing the economy in a pretty efficient manner. The real question is China. Can China actually stimulate its way out and correct their stock market? and bring consumers back into it. That is the biggest concern. Europe, you know, continues to be a problem due to their energy dependence, lack of growth, and obviously a land war taking place on the continent.
Yeah. The other question I wanted to ask you was about the ETFs, the Bitcoin ETFs, and there was really two questions. One question is the your overarching feeling about the Bitcoin ETFs, and the second question is, do you see any retail interest from your clients? Do you see people they asking you about? Are they eager to get in? What is the main street perception of that?
It's certainly becoming more widely accepted from a thesis standpoint than it was obviously going back to pre-COVID. You know, you've seen JP Morgan and some other institutions change their viewpoint on cryptocurrency as an asset class. I would also say that as it relates to the ETF, when that was released, you obviously saw a pretty massive pop in Bitcoin and some other spot currency prices, you know, up to the tune of 20%. And then you obviously saw the rug get pulled out of it within the next couple of days, right? So Bitcoin skyrocketed and then subsequently fell back to 40,000 a token. Some of that was seen as, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news, taking some chips off the table. You know, by bringing the ETF, I do think that it allows more people to adopt to it as an investment thesis, and you will probably see that take place over the years to come. But in terms of Bitcoin, I think when you look at it, you're either a huge believer in it or you know nothing about it. And I think it's a pretty large divergence. But the reason why I bring that up is I think the people that are true believers in it aren't going to sell it no matter what happens to the asset price, right? These are forever holds for a significant portion of the population that's invested there. And I think it's more of a psychological factor at this point than it is a fundamental analysis. So again, why is Bitcoin going to become popular? Obviously, the transfer of payments is a lot more, you know, happens more efficiently. Information gets transferred more efficiently. The downside is it's used primarily by criminals and people that are trafficking items. But at the same standpoint, it's a vote against governments, right? It's a vote against a government potentially coming down and shutting down, shutting you down from accessing your capital or being able to remove it to other parts of the world. So it's actually getting pretty widely adopted even in China right now, which is still trying to shut down on cryptocurrencies and bring their own digital yuan to market. But, you know, if you're an affluent member of pick a sovereign nation and you have fear of government takeover or geopolitical risk, you're probably going to start utilizing a cryptocurrency.
I just want to make a point before we close, and then we got to spend a little time with the Super Bowl because it was a good Sunday, and looking forward to this. Manny, just a point. Yesterday I went to go buy myself a pair of sneakers. I went to Dick's, right? 30,000 square foot store, right? I was the only person in there. You know, nothing, you know. 13, 14 employees at the registers in each department. It's a good sized store. Got to be, what, 25, 30,000 square feet, these stores? Man, you know, what does this tell us future about, you know, even the Walmarts of the world that are still, you know, busy, you know, with the storefront? What kind of alert should people be looking at if they have investment in some of these brick-mortar building businesses, or even if their portfolio has shares some of that stuff? How do you decipher that?
Yeah, so again, it comes down to your investment analysis. So we actually own Walmart. I have no concern over Walmart, but other retailers, absolutely. So when you look at the world of retailers, it's going to be, you know, the haves and have-nots. So, for example, look at Abercrombie & Fitch, right? Was dead for decades and now probably went through one of the largest revolutions in retail history. If you haven't seen it, pull up the stock price of Abercrombie & Fitch. It has skyrocketed. And then you look at the likes of Macy's and Dillon's and other brands like that are in the dumpster. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, COVID and everyone getting, you know, having demand pull forward for goods when they couldn't get access to services. I still think that's playing out. And I think people have overspent over the last couple years and are now pulling back. We're still in this kind of experience type of economy where that, for, you know, pre-COVID crisis, you know, the world was normal. Post-COVID, people were stuck in their homes and could only buy goods and couldn't, you know, partake in any services. So that's still transitioning. And I just think right now it's where we are in the cycle. So it's going to continue to be a story of, you know, winners and losers. And those brands will have to figure out a business strategy to come out to the other side to remain intact.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kinds of criteria in different places, and depends where you are too. I mean, mm-hmm. like I'm sure there's a big share of the Amazon kind of like delivery stuff, but there's also like a lot of places that still require those brick and mortar places, mm-hmm. right? So,
yeah,
look at UPS this morning. UPS released earnings today. They missed on earnings. They downgraded their guidance for the rest of 2024. And they're laying off 10,000 employees. So again, you're in this economy where you have the likes of your Facebooks, your Alphabets, your Amazons that are true market leaders and have really extended this rally and have participated to the fullest in it, compared to the other 493 names that continue to struggle and haven't really participated in this rally. So it's, again, two separate economies, right? So when we're talking tech, that continues to be where investors want to shield their capital and hide out until they have some more clarity.
Yeah, I think it's not only two separate economies. I think there are multi-economies happening at the same time, even from our conversation mm-hmm. this morning, right? You can just tell, like, there's so many different levels to this economic structure, and whether it's, you know, use the term unprecedented, but, you know, we are in this constantly changing environment, and some of the sort of like paradigms that we have to share are not necessarily applicable anymore. So you just have to be very adept and move around in so many different ways.
Yeah. Again, I think we said this last week, but it's the first time in history where you have the S&P 500 hitting all-time highs with the Russell 2000 in a bear market.
Yeah. 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 It's you know, it's like
shows you the divergence between small, mid, and large cap companies.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
So Manoli, 49ers or Chiefs?
Oh, I'm on the 49ers.
Yeah. Are you?
I mean, I just, you know, it's amazing what they've done. I'm kind of just sick of the Chiefs.
Oh, come on. The coach of Detroit Lions should be fired, you know, because he really...
Oh, yeah.
He should have gone for the kick, you know, field goal.
Yeah,
you know,
yes,
again. I mean,
yes,
no question
but,
about that.
You know, he followed the thought process that got him to this stage of
no
the
question
season,
about
which
that.
Was being risky and, you know, using the analytics in your favor to say we should go it on fourth down. But I agree, hindsight being 2020, that was an awful call. I mean, you're playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and you don't know if you'll ever get that opportunity again.
They waited 62 years.
Especially the Lions, I was going to say. Especially
Lions, yeah, I mean, everybody in Detroit was waiting, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm with you on the Niners, though. I'm with you on the Niners.
Yeah. I just think that they're a more complete team.
Then Taylor Swift would be very disappointed, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they say that the game between Kansas City and Baltimore was rigged because they wanted them, you know, like they wanted KC to go to the Super Bowl.
Ella tora.
They say that. Come on. They say that. Swift was going to the games.
Taylor Swift conspiracy theory.
There are 55 million people are watching. You know?
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway,
all right,
that's what the people from Baltimore said. You know, so
because
my brother lives in Baltimore, you know, I have to sympathize with him.
You want to bring it down? Hold on, I have a comment on that because I don't think it was rigged. She brought 55 million viewers, but I think her skills to be a brand ambassador are even larger, because if you look at the revenue number between the Chiefs and the NFL since Taylor Swift got involved, is around $330 million.
Did you know what I heard this morning, guys? I heard that the seats are going for the average seat is going for $9,900. $9,900 the average seat for this year's Super Bowl. I heard that private jets can no longer, there is no more, all the private jets are all taken, all the airports have leased all their, you know, it's crazy what I heard.
How many
economies we had with
that? You know, let me tell you, Vegas is going to be a happening place.
So you worry about going to get a pair of sneakers and nobody was in the store.
But think about it, you know what I mean? How do you go to a game like that? How do you go to a game?
Don't worry. We have no inflation, and we should certainly cut interest rates tomorrow and in March. That would be those statistics. Are you kidding me? But onto the Baltimore thing, I mean, they just played the worst game imaginable. Like, if you were to grade that team off of last Sunday's performance, give them a D-. I mean, the only reason why they don't get an F is because the defense actually held them to 3 points after the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the team that led the league in rushing attempts,
really
rushing yards. They ran the ball 8 times. So talk about a team and, you know, an offensive coordinator who completely went opposite of the script that got him to this game. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, massive choke job, you know, with missing receivers, holding on to the ball too much, not utilizing his leg, not checking down the ball, like going for home run shots every time. It just they came off as they looked so much more inexperienced than the Chiefs did, and the moment got too big for them.
By the way, do you feel bad for Bill Belichick not being able to get another job? You know, you have an opening in your office over there.
No.
He can come and answer the phones, you know.
No, because as much as we celebrate him here as being the greatest coach of all time, number one, again, people are looking at this with higher levels of scrutiny, his record without Brady. So that is coming, you know, more into question.
If it wasn't for Brady. Like,
you know, if you're an owner, number one, this guy's 72. Think about hiring someone that can't connect with your players, which is probably the number one cultural aspect I would be focusing on if I was hiring a head coach. And number two, look at how he conducted himself in front of the media for 20-odd years. You know, as much as we thought it was funny, some other organization is going to be like, we're going to build a brand around this guy?
What about the new coach of the New England? How do you like him?
We'll see. I didn't like how woke he made his interview process and bringing in the whole race situation. That's just my personal opinion. I thought it should have been more about football and what we were going to be doing and not making anything political.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I also think that it's a huge risk by Kraft, right? You're just taking an unproven guy and sticking him into a situation that almost needs a complete overhaul. And is he the guy to take you through that? I don't know.
There will be the same situation as this year. Don't worry about that.
Very interesting.
Mr. Kraft is going to
have couple of years. It's not going to change anytime soon. Yeah. There's just too many things you got to address on this.
Well, what about the new coach of the L.A. Chargers? Good pick, huh? The guy left Michigan, and, you know, hopefully we'll see them.
He's been successful everywhere he went. I mean, he took the 49ers to a couple NFC championship games. I think he's the real deal. I think he's the definition of a player's coach. And he will, you know, get the troops to rally around him. He's going to have a lot to correct because
it's about time we're going to laugh a little bit.
So we'll see. But yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh is going to do great in, you know, San Diego, and you know, hopefully this opens up the door to.
You mean LA Chargers? They're not San Diego anymore.
Yeah, the LA Chargers.
Actually, I'm looking forward to get a few tickets to go there and visit and see Mr. Spanos.
Manny, as always, thank you. A little finance and a little football. That's what I like
football
on Tuesdays. Football and finance with Manny Frangidakis, particularly during the Super Bowl season here. Manny, have yourself a great afternoon, and we'll regroup together next week, same time.
Say hello to the gentleman that you're having a meeting with.
Say hello to him. I will.
One more comment. Go ahead.
Yeah. Some big earnings results. So you're going to have Google and Microsoft after the bell today. So you have 4 or 5 of the largest tech names reporting earnings this week. So that could be market moving.
Okay. You heard it here with Manny Frangidakis. 12 Points Wealth Management right here on Grecian Echoes. All right, we're going to segue right into a song. We'll be back again. We've got Stamati, Petro, and Costa here. I'll make them stick around for a little longer, and we'll have some fun with you guys.